I would like to conclude today the series we began a few weeks ago. Last week we had Brother Dave DeMarco come and minister in song and minister the word. It was good, wasn't it? It was a real blessing last week. And but I is back in the saddle today. Amen. I know that's bad English, but praise God. If you would go to the Gospel of Matthew, the third chapter this morning, the Gospel of Matthew, and we'll have the scriptures up here on the screen here. But we do encourage you to bring your Bibles, bring your iPads, iPhones, whatever device that you have to get the Bible. It's really important. The most important book that you will ever have and read is the Bible. Amen?
Amen.
That is the most important book. It's the biggest threat to the enemy, but it's the greatest blessing to us. Praise God. Father, I thank you today for this opportunity to receive from you. We open our hearts, we open our minds to receive from you. We bind every and all distractions in Jesus' name, and we thank you for the Holy Spirit to teach us and to minister to us greatly today. In Jesus' name, amen. I have an expectation in my heart about things. I've had it for quite some time, amen. And it's really important that we maintain a spirit of expectation. And Jesus, in his time, when he walked through the different cities and towns and so forth, even some small towns, there was such an expectation that was developed on the inside of the people, an expectation to receive from him, and in many cases, divine healing, because they had heard what Jesus was doing. They had heard about the miracles and the signs and the wonders and people being restored in their health, you know. So, you know, this is before the days of the news media, okay? So it just basically spread by word of mouth. And once a miracle takes place and that word gets out, I mean, all of a sudden there's such a thirst and a hunger for people that need this kind of thing. They just got to get where Jesus was. Amen? Well, I don't mind telling you that to say this, that Jesus Christ is here in this room right now. Amen? You see, back in those days, 2,000 years ago, if you wanted healed, you had to go where Jesus was. I mean, if he was over in the next town, it was 15 miles away, you had to hoof it. You had to get on your donkey or horse, whatever, walk it, and you had to go where he was. All right? Nowadays, we don't have to do that. We don't have to go to Israel to be healed. Now, there's some people that believe that, but you do not have to go to Israel, to Galilee, the Sea of Galilee to be healed. You can be healed right now because God's presence is everywhere at the same time. Praise God. We began talking about a series called Filled, and we were talking about for the three sessions about how to stay full of God. Amen. And we talked about the importance of having your spiritual battery charged all the time. Amen. And there's two ways that we saw how to do that. We said two elements is the Word of God and prayer. The Word of God and prayer. And we went into detail about that. We have CDs that are available back there free of charge. Feel free to take those. I think part 1, 2, and 3 should be back there. And then this message here will be available, of course, next week. It'll be available online today. You can go on our website if you want and download it for free. But we said there's two main elements that we have to stay full of the Word of God and prayer. How many of you know that the days that we're living in right now, there's a lot of things that are trying to pull at us from every angle. There's pressure. You could say it like this in a short term like this, that the day and age in which we're living right now, it's the day of pressure. There's all kinds of things grabbing at our attention, trying to pull at us. How many of you know that? But we have to learn the powers of focus and stay focused in the last days and keep our concentration on the right stuff and not get our mind on this thing or that thing, the news media, especially the news media right now, okay? And we got to keep our eyes on what God's Word says. How many of you know that the Word of God never changes? Amen. Someone said that the newspaper is so temporal that they have to change it every day. And that's true. It has to change every day. Well, the Bible doesn't change. You can't go to the Word of God and say, well, we've got to change that. Now, some people might try to do that, but the Word of God stays the same. It's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Amen? Amen? So we got to keep on in an unstable world in which we live in. You know, there's instability in the world today, but we have to have our eyes on Jesus, on the Word of God. And if we keep our eyes on the Word of God and we stay hooked into that Word, stay hooked into church, praise the Lord. There's a big key right there. Amen. And hooked into the Word of God, then God will cause us to rise up above the circumstances of this life, no matter what comes against us. Amen? In Matthew chapter 3, and I want to conclude this series today, we see where Jesus was being baptized. And I saw something in my spirit yesterday when I was praying about this that the Lord ministered to me personally, but then I felt like He wanted me to take it and share it with you all today. So you get in on it. Amen. Are you ready? In Matthew chapter 3 and verse 13, it says, Then cometh Jesus to Galilee to Jordan unto John to be baptized of him. John forbid him, saying, I have need to be baptized of thee, and comest thou to me? Jesus answered in verse 15 and said unto him, Suffer or allow it to be so now, for thus becometh to fulfill all righteousness. Then he allowed him. 16 says, And Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens were opened unto him, and he saw the Spirit, notice this, he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him. That's pretty amazing, isn't it? How would you like to have been there? Well, that's not the end of it. Look at the next verse. Look at verse 17. And it says, And lo, a voice from heaven. That's who we need to hear from. Amen. I believe we're hearing from him today. A voice from heaven said, saying this, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Can we say that part? This is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased. Now go over to John chapter 1 for a minute here, and I want to show you the same account from John's perspective. It's interesting because the baptism of Jesus is listed in all four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. The synoptic Gospels are Matthew, Mark, and Luke because they cover a lot of the same territory. And John, the Apostle John, who wrote the Gospel of John, that's not one of the synoptic Gospels because he covers a lot of things that the others don't cover. All right, but Matthew, Mark, and Luke are very similar as far as the situations, the people, the healings, and so forth that took place. But in this case, all four of them had this. Okay, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Amen. I know when I was first saved and I would read through the Bible, and I was so ignorant of the Bible, I would read through Matthew, and then I would go to Mark, and I thought, wait a minute, I just read that. Did you ever do that before? I'm like, wait a minute, why am I reading the same thing? That's a different book, but they're saying the same thing, basically, you know? Well, the Holy Spirit knew that we wouldn't get it the first time. And, you know, when something is shared, for example, from a different perspective, two people can see the same thing and get two different things out of it. And someone said that Bible doctrine is kind of like this. It's like climbing a mountain. If you climb the mountain from the eastern side, you get the eastern view. If you climb it from the western side, you get the western view. You know what I'm saying? But it's all the same mountain. Amen? And Mark might share something that Matthew didn't share, but if you put them all together, all the accounts together, you get a really clear picture of what had taken place. Now, in John's Gospel, look at verse 29. This is about the baptism, Jesus' baptism. And it says, The next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him, and he saith, Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. Can I have an amen? Amen. Well, what was it on the Passover that God instructed them to sacrifice? A lamb, right? Okay, and they were to take that lamb and take the blood of that lamb, put it on the doorpost, right? And then they were to roast the lamb and eat the lamb. And that Passover lamb is a type and shadow of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? And when they applied the blood to the doorpost of their house, God said to Moses, to the Israelites, he said, when I see the blood, I will pass over. So when judgment came through, you talk about pleading the blood of Jesus. When he says, when I see the blood, the devil cannot come to that house. He may try, but he's not going to come to that house. Amen. How many of you know it's good to sling some blood around?
Absolutely.
The blood of Jesus, praise the Lord. Amen. That's so powerful. Glory to God. But John said this, he said, look, when he says, behold, he's not talking furniture polish here, okay? He said, look, he said, Jesus, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. He had that revelation. Now look at verse 30. This is he whom I said, after me cometh a man which is preferred before me. He was before me, and I knew him not. That's 31. But he should be made manifest to Israel. Therefore, I come to baptize with water. And John bare record saying, I saw, notice this, I saw the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, descending on him from heaven like a dove. Now, it wasn't a dove, but it was like a dove as far as it coming down. All right. And it abode upon him. And I knew him not, but he that sent me to baptize with water, the same said unto me, upon whom thou shalt see. See, God showed him that if you see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, the same is he which baptized you with the Holy Ghost. Okay? Now, there's a lot of different directions that we could go with this right now. But, you know, Jesus Christ was baptized in water this day. But not only was he baptized in water, he was baptized in the Holy Ghost this day. Okay? Because you're going to find that from this point forward, Jesus began to perform miracles. Because you'll see in the gospel, especially in the gospel of John, it said, and this, you know, when he turned the water into wine at the wedding of Galilee, Cana Galilee, it says, this being the first of miracles which Jesus did. And then you read a couple chapters later, it says, this the second miracle that Jesus did. So there was a progression. And I think it's important to understand that Jesus did not start his public ministry. He was 30 years old when he was water baptized here, and the Spirit of God came upon him. And he had 30 years of preparation. Think about that. 30 years of preparation for a 3.5-year ministry, and then his life was cut off for us. Okay? But Jesus had 30 years of preparation, but his miracle ministry did not start until he was endued with power from on high. Amen? Was Jesus the Son of God when he was 12 years old? Well, of course he was. How about when he was 15? How about when he turned 21? Absolutely, he was the Son of God. But Jesus, the Bible says when he came to this earth in Philippians, he laid aside his heavenly powers, okay, when he came to this earth, and he took upon himself the form of flesh like you and I. So Jesus had to be anointed to enter into his ministry, his public ministry, just like you and I have to, amen? That's just a little side thought. I won't charge extra for that. But you know, Jesus depended upon the anointing. Now, what I want to get to today is this, is that in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, we're not going to go to all those accounts, but we saw two of them here. When Jesus was water baptized and he came up out of the water after John had seen the Spirit of God descending upon him, that's powerful, isn't it? He heard a voice from heaven, and it was the Father God, and it said, in some other versions, it says that they thought it was lightning. That's when God spoke. They thought it was like thunderous lightning. And he said, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. So it's very interesting. In one setting, you see Jesus, you see the Holy Ghost, and you hear the Father speak. What's that? That's the Trinity. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. All in one setting. Now, these are three members that make up the Godhead. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost. They're all God. Amen? But three separate persons. Hallelujah. But they're all one in unison. They're all for the same plan and the same purpose. Jesus doesn't have a plan. The Father has a plan. The Holy Ghost has a plan. They're all one in purpose. They're not divided. Well, here comes this voice from heaven, and it says this. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Now listen very carefully this morning. Don't fall asleep. Amen? You see somebody falling asleep, just punch them or something like that. Okay? Just pay attention. Praise the Lord. Listen to what the Holy Ghost is saying right here. Everybody needs approval and looks for approval. Everybody needs approval and looks for approval. But what God says about us is what is most important. There could have been people standing by the Jordan screaming out, you're not this, you're not that, saying negative things. But the Father's voice overshadowed all that other stuff. Now, how many of you know you can have all kind of voices coming at you?
Yeah.
Okay? And well-meaning people sometimes, they may say things that cut and hurt and wound, you know, maybe when you were younger, all right? And those voices, there's a power behind those voices, right?
Yeah.
However, when God speaks, when God says something about us, that's the voice that matters.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Jesus received comfort from these words. This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. And you know what? Here's the thing about it. Jesus hadn't done one miracle yet. He hadn't done one miracle yet. No blind eyes open. No deaf hearing. No lame walking. None.
Yeah.
But God said, this is my Son in whom I'm well pleased. Praise God. I believe that this was a launch pad for Jesus' ministry. And I believe with all of my heart that he meditated on that over and over again, especially as Jesus went forward in his earthly ministry. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we think we have trouble sometimes. Look at what came against Jesus. He had more enemies than anybody else. And yet he was the greatest lover that there ever was. Amen? Mm-hmm. Jesus was perfect in every sense of the word. Mm-hmm. Someone says, well, you know, that's the problem today. We don't have Jesus as our leader, so, you know, there's excuses. You know, if I had a perfect leader, if I had a perfect pastor, hey, that'd be just like Jesus. Listen, what about Judas? What about Judas? Why did he miss it? Is it because of Jesus? Uh-uh. You talk about perfected leader, Jesus Christ, the perfect leader in every sense of the word. He never missed it, never once. He loved them unto the end, the Bible says. He loved them perfectly. Perfectly. Are you with me? But Jesus, I'm sure, rehearsed this thing over and over in his mind. This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. Amen? What's one of the things that we want to hear when we get to heaven? Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of the Lord. Amen? How many of you know you don't have to wait to get to heaven to hear the Father say, well done. We don't want him just saying, well. Big question mark, right? Well. Some people might have that hanging over their head. You know, regret. We don't want to have any regrets when we get to heaven. That's why obedience now on this earth is so vitally important. Delayed obedience is disobedience. Did you know that? Well, brother, when things get a little bit better, I'll start doing better. I'll start getting more faith. I'll start coming to church more. I'll start tithing. You know, I'll start reaching out to people. When things get a little bit better in my life, delayed obedience is disobedience. That went over real well. Okay? Now, I'm not preaching to you. I'm preaching to me as well. Okay? I get in on this as well. But it just pays to obey God. It satisfies your heart. How many of you know that? When you do what you know, if you do the right thing and you know it in your heart and you're doing the right thing, that brings pleasure to God, but it also ministers to your heart. Because you know you're not short-circuiting God's blessings in your life. Are you with me?
Amen.
This is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased. God put his stamp of approval upon the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, Pastor, I know that that's Jesus. I understand that. You know, that's the Son of God. You know, of course, God's going to say that about him. But would he say that about me? Well, we're going to see that today. Okay? See, what we have to realize is this. You see all of your imperfections. I see all my imperfections. Okay? We're very familiar with our inadequacies, imperfections, shortcomings, as believers, correct? You're with me now? We see those things. Here's the good news. In the flesh, nobody is perfect. Nobody's perfect. I don't care every saint, every minister in this world that you can even think of, nobody is perfect in the flesh. yet. But your spirit is perfect. Amen? When you became a new creation in Christ Jesus, the Bible says old things have passed away and everything has become new. You became a new creature in Christ Jesus. You are totally and completely accepted. I'm going to show you scripture here at the end of the service today. You are completely accepted in the Beloved, the Bible says. You are fully accepted in Christ Jesus. That's a good place to say amen. 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 See, we're not in your old dead church when you grew up in. We're in a live church. Amen. Jesus is real. He's alive. You can say amen. You can say yes or whatever you want to say. Amen. This is exciting. But to know, you know, everybody in this room and everybody out there in the world today, there's a longing for acceptance. But it's how you go about getting acceptance. It's how you go about doing it. Okay? The most important person that you can be accepted by is God Himself. Are you with me now? You know, I remember a number of years ago, many, many years ago now, I was working, in fact, right down here on Campbell's Run Road. I just got out of high school, and I was getting ready, preparing to go to Bible school, but it was too early to do that, so I was working a secular job. I was working in a cheese factory that used to be down there. The building's still there, but it's a different business now. You know, I think they build decks or something now, but a friend of mine he was one of the managers there, so he's able to get me a job. It was a pretty good job, you know. And there was probably 50 employees that were there. And I took the job and went in there. And as I got in there, we began to realize there were several different people in that workplace that were looking for Jesus. I mean, it didn't appear that way at first, but, you know, on our lunch break, we'd start talking. And my friend and I, we were real tight. You know, we were tight in the Lord together, you know, and he loved God, I loved God, you know. So we just wanted to start reaching out to these people, okay? And there's some rough people that worked in that place. You know what I'm saying? They could look at you and intimidate you. You know what I'm trying to say? But, you know, we began to just reach out with the love of God to these people. And one by one, people started getting saved. All right? And I'm telling you, then we started a Bible study on our lunch break for anybody that wanted to participate. We didn't force it, jam it down people's throat, but we just had like a little Bible study that we wanted to have. And so we did that. And, the owners of the company, there was two of them, and they were twin brothers, okay? And they were totally anti. My friend had worked there many years before I did, and they did not want to hear anything about God, anything that represented Jesus or things of God. It just intimidated the fire of these guys, just made them just red hot, okay? Well, there's a little mini revival that's going on in this place, and we're just so excited. We're just reaching out to people, not being weird or anything, but just reaching out to people, you know, praying for them if they need prayer, you know. I got called into the office one day. From the boss, from the big boss. I had no idea what it was about, you know, but long story short, he fired me. Okay? And they needed the people, believe me. It wasn't like they were laying off. They needed more workers. They were looking for more workers. And he fired me for taking the time to reach out to people on the job. Okay? Now, I don't mind telling you, I needed that job at that moment. Okay, I needed the money. I was saving up for Bible school. You know, I was just right out of high school. And, you know, so I felt the impact of that immediately. It was like, whoa, I'd never been fired from a job before, you know. Now he didn't come out and tell me what it was, but I knew that's exactly what it was. You know what I'm saying? Because of other things that I don't have time to get into. But I finished the day out there. He said, this will be your last day. He didn't even give me a week's notice. This will be your last day, you know. So I got my blue Monte Carlo and jumped on, getting on the parkway, going to run that circle to get on at Campbell's Run exit down there. And I'm telling you, I was hurting over this thing. I was like, oh, man, you know. Persecution is what it was, you know. Now, there's a time to speak on the job. There's a time not to speak, right? They're not paying us to preach the gospel on the job. They're paying us to do a job, correct? All right. But, you know, on our lunch break, that was our time. We weren't interfering with anything. That's when we would reach out to these guys, you know. So word got out. Man, I was just pretty wounded by this thing, you know. I was actually crying over this thing, you know. It's hard to believe, but I did. I thought, oh God, you know. And I'm looping around, if you know where that exit is down there, and the Holy Spirit spoke to my heart. I'm telling you, I did not expect that to happen, but it wasn't with these ears, but inside me, the Lord said this. He says, Keith, don't worry about it. He goes, I'm going to get you a much better job than this.
Amen.
And you know what? That same week, I had somebody call me out of the clear blue, and I got the best job I had ever, up to that point. I had the best job, best pay, and everything. They ended up calling me, contacting me.
Praise God.
Amen?
Amen.
And, you know, my mom at that time, she was putting pressure on me because I was still living at home. She said, Keith, you better get out there. You better pound the pavement. You know what I'm saying? Knock on some doors. You know what I mean? I said, Mom, look, I'm not being a slacker here, but let's just trust the Lord, okay? A couple of days went by, okay? And she said, you know, she's just trying to motivate me, you know, get up and knock on, go down here. They need some people. Go down here. I said, look, I'm just going to wait here and just let the Lord, He's going to open up a door for me, you know. And well, that's not what she wanted to hear at that point, you know. And but lo and behold, I got a phone call, and I'm telling you, a job opened up for me that was just tremendous, you know. And the Lord allowed me to step into that place, and I was in that place actually until I ended up going to Bible school. Amen. But my point being is this: is that we need to hear from the Father. This is Father's Day, okay. And He created, our Father created fathers. Amen.
Amen.
He's the Father of all fathers.
Amen.
And He will show us. He will comfort us. Now, when that voice spoke from heaven and said, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. How many of you know, not only did the people hear that, but that was for the benefit of Jesus.
Amen.
And He heard that. That would minister to Him. What if God Almighty appeared to you right now in this place? Jesus appeared in this place. He said, I am so pleased with you. And then He disappeared. And you're thinking, I haven't done nothing yet. Because you're thinking, works, works, and then God will be pleased with me. Listen to me. God is pleased with you before you do a blasted thing.
Amen.
The fact that you just came to Jesus is the biggest thing, the decision that you'll ever make. The fact that you came to Him, He fully accepted you just the way you are, problems and all.
Amen.
And He says, I embrace you. I love you with an unconditional love. I accept you. When you know that, that will give you such a boost in life to go forward and have a confidence that you never had before.
Right.
And I don't mean to tell you, but I was riding around that loop there, and that's when the Lord said, don't worry about it, Keith. I know what happened. I'll provide. And it was persecution.
Mm-hmm.
That's all it was. Okay? Now, they didn't get out of board and whip me or something like that, but they fired me from my job. That's a form of persecution.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? There's different types. There's verbal persecution and there's physical persecution. You know what I mean? But we have to know that God is going to take care of us no matter what. So my tears turned into joy in just a couple of minutes because I heard Him speak to me. He said, don't worry about it. I'll provide a better job for you. Praise the Lord. And God is my witness. That week, someone contacted me and a door opened up for me. I'm telling you, it was just wonderful. Now, that was many years ago. That was in 1981. 1980, around that time. So that was a few years ago. Hallelujah. But the point I'm trying to make is this, is that when we hear the Father's voice, when we hear His voice, and while I'm on that, let me just say this. We shouldn't be trying to seek to hear voices. You know, there's many people today that are in mental institutions that are hearing voices, and it's not the right voice. See, we're not to seek to hear God with these ears right
That's
here.
Right.
All right? When, don't you worry about it, because when God speaks to you, you'll hear it on the inside.
Amen.
Now, it's not an audible. Yes, He could speak audibly, but there's different ways. And we'll teach on that sometime about there's different ways that God speaks to you. Sometimes it's a strong impression. There's an impression I'm telling you, God's always talking to us. He's trying to get you out of that mess that you're about to get into. Okay? Believe me, He's talking to us, but sometimes we have to have ears to hear what He's saying to us. Amen? It's not that loud, thunderous voice, you know, that we look around and say, man, even the trees shook. Okay? But we're talking about that inward intuition. How many of you know what I'm talking about? That inward voice. Many years ago, I was out buying tires for a vehicle that I had. And I was on my way home. This before we had children. I was sitting at a red light. Some of you heard the story before. And it was a blind intersection. And I was the first one in line. The light turned green. And it was like a T, okay? So I'm getting ready to go. And all of a sudden, something, it wasn't a voice, but something inside me said, just hesitate. Just wait a second. It wasn't a voice. It was just a prompting, an intuition. So I hesitated. Well, the people behind me got a little upset at that because they're ready to go. You know what I'm saying? Well, hey, I better listen to God because it pays off, okay? So I hesitated for what seemed to be about 5 or 6 seconds. And the light was green. All right? Well, as I hesitated that many minutes, all of a sudden I started moving forward. A car went flying, I would say roughly 45 to 50 miles per hour. And this is a downhill slope. I can take you to the spot today. And he went flying. He tried to make the yellow light, turned into red. He went through the red light. Had I had proceeded out when the light turned green, I would have been seriously injured or killed. Okay? Now, this all happened within a few short seconds. I mean, he was like that. Okay? Well, needless to say, I was like, thank you, Lord. I thought, boy, that was so subtle. Sometimes you get this passing thought. Just wait. Hold it. Just relax. Stay cool. Amen? And that still small voice, the Bible calls it a still small voice. An intuition, just an impression. How many know what I'm talking about? And sometimes when we disobey that voice, that inward intuition, the Bible says as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. In other words, sons and daughters of God are going to be led by the Spirit of God. Where does He live when you're a Christian? He lives inside of us. And oh, I'm so thankful for Him because I was spared that day just by hesitating for a couple of minutes. Not a minute, a couple of seconds. Well, a few months later after that, it's wintertime. We're at the same light again. This time my wife is with me. And we just left her parents that night. We went over there to visit. We're on the way home. Same exact intersection, same light. This time I'm the second car in line. The light turns green. Person in front of me pulls forward, and a car came flying through the intersection and T-boned that car. I'm telling you, just did some serious damage on that car. And then that car hit and ran after that, the car that hit this person. And I thought, you know, that could have been me there just a few months before that. Okay? As many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Do you know, as a word of encouragement, that every one of you here have heard God's voice but didn't know it? Because you were expecting it with these ears. Like, hey! Oh, that's not the way it usually happens. But it's something inside you that's talking to you. You see, look, if somebody's going to live inside you, I mean, if somebody's living physically with you in your house, they're going to have an influence on you. Whether that's good or bad. Right? They're going to have an influence on you. Well, when God's living in you, your body's the temple of the Holy Spirit. Your body's the temple of the Holy Spirit. You better believe He's trying to communicate with us. He's trying to speak to us. That's why Jesus would make statements like this. He would say, I only do what I see my Father do. I only speak what I hear my Father speak. Well, no one else heard it, but He heard it. Why? Because the Father, He said, dwelleth in Him. All right? Now, as a Christian, as a born-again child of God, you have the same Holy Spirit that was in Jesus. Same Holy Spirit. He didn't have twins. Are you with me now? Same Holy Ghost that was in Jesus is living on the inside of me and you. And He is there to speak, to comfort, and to encourage 24/7. Oh, my, my, my. He's more eager to talk to you than you are to even hear Him. What's that scripture in the Old Testament that said God was in this place and we didn't even know it? He was there and we didn't even recognize it. Amen? Brother Copeland always said, he goes, some people wouldn't recognize the Holy Ghost if He came riding in on a big horse with a red suit and a big red hat that said, Holy Ghost. Because that's not how He comes. He speaks to us from the inside. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? You can listen, you can be saved for 5 minutes and start to hear from heaven. I'm telling you, you don't have to go to Bible school and go through seminary to learn how to hear God's voice. You can be a child of God. Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice. And the voice of a stranger, they're not going to follow. Over in Israel, you know, there's to this day, they still have shepherds in that part of the country. And I did some research on this, and sure enough, Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice. And a stranger's voice, they're not going to respond to it. Amen? You know why? Because the shepherd has been with the sheep. He smells like sheep. He has a distinct voice that those sheep recognize. And those sheep, they will not respond to anybody else. You could get some false shepherd in there and say, hey, dumb sheep, follow me. They're going to keep doing, they're going to act like they never heard you. But when the shepherd goes in there and they're familiar with his voice because he raised them from young lambs and he's been speaking to them, they're familiar with that voice in the natural. And so when that shepherd speaks and he wants them to do something, guess what? They're going to respond. Amen? You can be saved for 5 minutes and hear the voice of God. In fact, you did hear the voice of God when you responded to Jesus. You said, yes, Lord, I need you. You heard the voice of the good shepherd. Amen? Praise God. Everyone needs approval. But it's what God says to us that matters the most. I am convinced beyond all measure that Jesus rehearsed that phrase over and over in His life, especially as His time got closer, you know, to become a sacrifice. He said, this is my beloved Son. He probably rehearsed that in His thinking, in His mind. He meditated on that. Son, I'm well pleased with you. Amen? Isn't that refreshing when someone says that to you? Say, you know, I'm pleased with you. Praise God. Amen? And Lynn and I will say verbally, you know how pleased we are with you guys in this church? Amen? There's nothing that you can do in this church to make us love you more. Amen? Because our hearts are set, our minds are made up, and we love you with all of our hearts. Amen? And it doesn't matter if you've been here for 5 years or 5 minutes. It doesn't matter. Amen? I can tell you one thing. When people come in this church, they're going to receive love. They will receive. Whether they receive it or not, that's up to them. But let me tell you something. It's not laborsome. It's not hard to love people. Especially y'all. Amen? Amen? Praise God. And so when you know that you're loved and you're accepted, you're free to be yourself. You're not like, oh, I just made a mistake or something. You know, I mean, stumbling over things. Have you ever been with somebody before that you're trying to, subconsciously you're trying to please them? Yeah. And you end up saying stupid things. Foot and mouth disease. Why? Because you're wanting approval, you're wanting acceptance. So, you know, you end up, oh, why did I do that? Come on. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? It's true. Well, God's not like that. I did some research, and I tell you, I've been, for the last year, I looked at several accounts of people that had near-death experiences. Actually, they were out of their body. They left their body, whether it was an accident or an operation or something along that line. And I'm talking legit ones, okay, not people that just conjured up something, but people on video that actually went to heaven, okay? And there's a common thread that I saw through several different people that were didn't know each other. They're completely separate, different parts of the world, some from other countries even. But there was one common thread. There was two things in particular that I saw that really ministered to my heart about the afterlife. And the first thing that people say was they saw this massive light, okay? And they were drawn to the light, okay? And it was brighter than the noonday sun, but yet it didn't hurt your eyes. This happened, testimony after testimony. And they get into heaven, you know, and they said they have never felt that kind of warmth and acceptance and love. It's like liquid love that you feel so accepted and so loved by the creator of the Jesus himself meeting these people in heaven. And a lot of these people, they hadn't done anything for Christ. They just got saved. They got their fire insurance. They missed hell and they're going to heaven. Yet, in spite of that, they're in the presence of Jehovah and they don't want to come back. Listen, if you have a loved one that's moved to heaven, guarantee you they will not want to come back for any reason. Amen. Every one of them said, please don't send me back to that earth. Why? Because you're in the presence of Almighty God. The Bible says to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Amen? It doesn't get any better than that. Oh, my, my, my. And so here are these people, one after the next, different people from different walks of life said the same thing. It was the most powerful. They never felt so accepted in their entire life. Just, it's spiritual, but it's just an embracing of love and acceptance, okay? Well, the thing I began to realize is this. We do not have to wait to get to heaven to experience that. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven, correct? So that means that you can experience some symptoms of heaven on earth without even going there physically. In fact, we're already in heaven. Do you know that? The Bible says we've been raised up to sit with him in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Amen? Now, don't try to figure that out with this. The Bible says we've been raised up to sit with him. Amen? Go to Psalm 23, and we'll just wrap this up here this morning. And let's talk about, we're talking about the Word of God. When you receive the Word of God in your life, that's the greatest form of comfort that there is. And I'll prove that out by the Scriptures here right now. Because it's God-breathed, God speaking to us. Oh, isn't it good to know that you're totally accepted by God?
Amen.
That frees you up. That frees me up. See, I didn't always think that. I had the mindset that I love God. Yeah, I love God. But let me tell you something. Many years ago, before I knew any better, I always felt somehow that I was missing the mark somehow. I always felt like somehow, no matter what I did, there's something else I could be doing. Maybe it's because I'm firstborn. I don't know. An overachiever sometimes. And that's bondage because there's always, you know, you pray for 30 minutes and the devil will tell you, you should have prayed an hour. Are you with me now? Oh, I read four chapters. Well, you should have read six. And these thoughts come to your mind. And so the devil's the accuser of the brethren. Right? He's called the accuser of the brethren. And his job is to put condemnation in your thinking about yourself. That you're no good, you're not worthy, you're just a screw-up going somewhere to happen. Are you with me now? And that's a lie from the pit of hell. That's not the way the Father looks at us. Okay? Now look at this in Psalm 23. Psalm 23 and verse 4. You know this psalm, it's very familiar. Yay. Everybody say yay.
Yay.
That means yes. It says, though I walk through... Now, notice he didn't say camp in or stake your tent. He says, though I walk through. So some things you'll walk through them, but you know you're coming out. Amen?
Amen.
Praise God. I went through that just recently. Amen? Walk through it. You walk through it, praise the Lord. You just keep walking. Don't stop. You just keep walking. Amen. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Now, the shadow of a dog never bit anybody. Amen. You may be so close that the shadow's right there that though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. I will fear no evil. Why? Thou art with me. Notice this phrase, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Now, what does that represent, thy rod and thy staff? It means the word and the spirit, they comfort me. Moses had that staff, didn't he? Remember that staff? Boy, that was an important stick, wasn't it? Because everywhere that stick went, miracles happened. That's the stick that opened the Red Sea. That's the stick that opened the waters to come gushing out of a rock in the middle of the desert. Amen? That's the stick that brought the plagues on the Egyptians. Well, we don't have that kind of a stick, but we have the Word of God and the Spirit of God that they bring us comfort. Now, I'm just going to quickly go through some of these. You don't have to turn there. But in Matthew 5:4, Jesus said this, "Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted." Now, in essence, here's what I'm sharing about today, is I'm talking about having the Word of God bring the comfort that you need in your life. The Word of God. Okay?
Yeah.
Jesus said, "You're blessed if you mourn." In other words, you're crying, right? Well, I don't feel real blessed. He says, "Blessed are they that cry and mourn, for they shall be comforted." So in other words, when you're hurting, there's a comforter that's there for you. Now, some people choose to access that comfort, and others don't. I'm talking about believers. But the comfort's always there.
Amen.
It's there. Jesus heard that voice. "This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased." Amen? John 16, look over there real quick. John 16 and verse 7. Really powerful scripture here. "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth," Jesus said, it is expedient for you that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I'll send him to you." Did Jesus leave? Did the Comforter come?
Yes.
Yep. Is he still here?
Yes.
Yep. He didn't pack his bags and go on vacation. The Holy Ghost, the Comforter, is still here today. When you hear God's voice, it's actually the Holy Spirit. Let me put it to you this way. When we say we heard from heaven, we heard from God, the Holy Spirit does not act on his own. Jesus said the Holy Spirit does not speak on his own initiative, but whatsoever he shall hear from the Father, he will speak unto us. So the Holy Spirit doesn't have a mind of his own where he's out there just speaking things outside of God's will. He only speaks, the Holy Ghost will only speak what the Father is telling him. And so we hear from God via the Holy Spirit that lives on the inside of us. It's the same way that Jesus operated in the earth, no different. When he said, "I only speak what I hear the Father speak. I only do what I see the Father do." He's referring to the inward spirit that lived on the inside of him. Mm-hmm. And that's the same exact way that you and I can operate in this earth. Don't be discouraged if you missed it. We all have missed it. In fact, we will miss it. But the fact is, get back up. Brush yourself off. Mm-hmm. And keep plowing forward. Keep moving forward. Amen?
Amen.
And keep saying, "I am his sheep, I hear his voice." I can't tell you how many times I've done that when I didn't know what to do in certain situations where I felt clueless. But I would say over and over and over again, "I'm your sheep, Lord, I hear your voice, the voice of a stranger I'm not going to follow. And I just confess today that I hear your voice, Lord." Now, it may not have happened right then. It may not even happen that day or two later. But in the process of time, if you keep saying that, all of a sudden, it will come to you. Amen? In fact, the very message that I'm speaking to you today came to me that way.
Yes.
Okay? Because the Spirit of God breathed on me.
Yeah.
Amen?
Amen.
Praise God. And so the Holy Ghost is called the Comforter. Look at John 14, 26 real quick. I just got a few minutes here to wrap this up. John 14, 26, "But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things bring all things to your remembrance, whatever I've said unto you. That's pretty awesome, isn't it? He'll teach you all things. All things. All things. Say all things. You're at work and you have a situation that's baffling you. There's some kind of an issue, some kind of a problem. Maybe you got a computer problem or something like that. Instead of picking that computer up and throwing it out the window, you have the Holy Ghost on the inside of you. Amen. I'll tell you how to solve that problem. Get a Mac computer. I'm just kidding. Man. That's for all the PC people that are, you know, just kidding, you know. Actually, I'm kind of serious about that, but you know. But in Romans chapter 15, go over there real quick here. And I want you to notice verse 4. This is a golden scripture right here, I'm telling you. So how do we receive, what's the main way that we receive comfort from God? Through the Word of God. Okay? This will tell you right here in Romans 15, verse 4 says, "For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience," and notice this, "the comfort of the Scriptures might have hope." Isn't that cool? Notice the comfort of the Scriptures. So there are people that actually despise the Word. There are believers that despise the Word. You know, you tell them, you know, in the right spirit, of course, give someone a scripture. You know, I feel like I got a scripture I want to give to you. You know, and they say, I need something else. If we despise the Word of God, what else do we have left? We're not going to do that, are we? None of us are going to do that. We're going to hold fast. The Word of God is the Word of God. It's the Word of God. Hallelujah. And so, here's a scripture. Just put it up on the screen, Josh, in 2 Corinthians 1, 4. It says, "God who comforteth us." Now notice the word comfort. It's all that's loaded in this verse. "Who comforteth us in our tribulation, that we might be able to comfort them that are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted by God." That's 4 or 5 times there in that one verse right there. What's the word? Comfort. So in other words, the comfort that you and I receive, we're able to take that same comfort and minister to other people. There's been, I can't even tell you how many times I've been in a situation, whether it's people in this church or elsewhere, to help somebody, to encourage somebody. Because if you've been there and you've done it and you've gone through the same thing or maybe even worse, then you're in a position to help that person that might need comfort at that moment. Are you with me now? And so the Lord will use you and I. We're His body. He wants to use you and I. He wants to use us as His instrument, His mouthpiece, His hands. God wants to use all of you in this church to minister that to people. Amen? I mean, today we could hear a thundering voice from heaven that would speak and say, "I love you, church." Amen? But you know, most of the time, He just chooses to use people like you and I to speak through our vocal cords to say, "Church, I love you." Okay? And when I say that, what does that minister? Grace. Scripture says, "Don't let any unwholesome speech proceed out of your mouth, but only that which is good to the use of edifying, that it might minister grace to the hearers." Hallelujah. So when we talk love, the love language, and we talk, you know, I'm not talking ooey-gooey love. I'm talking about the real deal. That genuinely loving and caring for each other, that ministers grace. We ought to experience that whether I preach or not. Amen. Amen? We ought to be able to come in here. Pastor's not preaching today. There ought to be enough going on inside of us that we can start ministering to one another. Loving one another, encouraging one another. And I believe that's the case here. And it should always be the case, right? So, in conclusion here, the greatest comfort that we have is the Word of God. The Word of God. That's the greatest comfort that we have, is God speaking the Word of God to us. When I was just recently going through what I went through, you know, the Lord spoke to my heart, and he says, Keith, he goes, what I say to you is what matters.
Amen.
It's not what Doc says. We respect doctors and all this kind of stuff. But he said, what did I say about you? That's the thing that matters. And so I began to recite, I am the healed of the Lord.
Amen.
I am accepted in the beloved, Ephesians 1:6. I am loved of God. Ah, thank you, Lord, I received that. You know what that does? That brings great comfort to my heart. Amen. Years ago, when Lynn and I had just, we had just gotten into the ministry, we were in a church in Texas, and they were physically building a building, and I was pounding drywall and stuff like that. Do that during the day, and then we'd minister at night. You know, it was a large church. It was a really growing church, and I'm telling you, it's not fun working in temperatures of 115 to 120 degrees inside with no air conditioning because we're building the building, right? Sheetrock, scorpions running around, black widows. I mean, this is the deep south, okay? And it just was miserable trying to work in that, you know? And I had never experienced heat like that in my entire life. Well, one day, you know, we're sitting down at lunch, and all the guys are sitting around. These are guys from the church, you know. And Lynn had packed me a lunch that morning, okay? Isn't that nice of her to do that? Hallelujah. So all the guys were sitting there eating lunch, you know, and I pull out, I thought, oh, this is cool. And all of a sudden there was a note that popped out, you know, and it was all folded up, you know. And the guys saw that, the guys that were there. Well, they started teasing me. Say, let me read that. Come on, they're grabbing for it. And I said, no, you know, and they just kept teasing me about it, you know. And so, you know, come on, let me see that letter. You know, they knew what was going on, and so it was like real small, wrapped up, you know. So I opened it up, you know, when they weren't watching, you know, and I read. It was a little love note from my wife. Okay. Praise God, this July we're going to be married 34 years. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. I'm more excited than ever, I'm telling you. Oh, glory to God. And so it was just a short little note that she wrote, you know, just saying, I'm not going to tell you what she said, but it was a love letter to me. Are you with me now? And so, you know, I rolled it up, put it back in my pocket, you know, and it was actually wet because I was so sweaty and everything, you know. And you know, about 2 hours later, I go back and away from her. I pull that thing out again, and I start reading. I think I read it two or three times, you know. And it just touched my heart. It ministered to my heart because I wasn't expecting her to do that, okay. And this, when I'm going to close with this, I promise you, all right. You know, Paul would say, in conclusion, then he'd write another chapter, right? I mean, no, I really am. I really mean it this time. But the Holy Ghost, I'll leave you with this. The Holy Spirit said, Keith, that's exactly the way that I want you to treat my word. My word is not just a letter. It's a love letter.
Amen.
To you. I want you to, he spoke that to my heart. And I'm telling you, I was 22 years old when this happened. And the Lord said, in my heart, he said, I want you to treat my word like a love letter. Instead of reading it as like a law, you know, the Bible, you know, the Ten Commandments and all this stuff you have to do. He goes, no, my word is made up of letters. Okay? That's letters to people. That's what the word of God is. But they're inspired of God. And so he's witnessed to my heart, says, read my word like that instead of just reading it like that's the Bible, you know. But read it like a love letter to me. And let me tell you something. That changed my life. Because from that time to this time now, when I open up the Bible, I'm not reading it as the Gospel of St. John. You know, I'm reading, this is John's love letter to Keith Eggert.
Amen.
Are you with me? And so I personalize it. I take it and I receive comfort. When he says, you know, that I've blessed you with all spiritual blessings, and you're accepted in Ephesians 1:6. Keith, you're accepted in the beloved. Keith, you're a new creature in Christ Jesus. 2 Corinthians 5:17. I write my name in there. I say, that's me.
Amen.
I am a new creature in Christ Jesus. He's not talking to the fellow down the street. He's talking to me. I personalize it. And when you personalize the Word of God and you take one scripture, amen? Jesus said, "My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." Good gracious, if you think it's tough now with what's going on in the world, you ain't never lived with a bunch of Romans that are ready to wipe and annihilate people off the earth. If we think it's bad now, it was really bad back then. And somehow they survived. Somehow they made it through. And somehow they received comfort from the Holy Ghost. Somehow they fulfilled the mission that God gave them. They didn't let it stop them. Praise the Lord. Amen. Were you encouraged today?
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Why don't we stand up? Got some. Okay.
Just focus on the Lord as we have been, but just for a moment here.
Yes.
Thank you, Lord. I didn't want me to do that, Lord. Well, I the end of Psalm 23, it says, "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Wow. We're in the house of God here. This is the house of God. Coming to church is the house of God. And it says when we dwell in the house of God, surely goodness and mercy are going to follow us. But it's amazing because it talks about the shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And it goes on to say what he's going to do for us, how he's restoring our life, how he's restoring every part of our lives. And I wasn't going to do this. I didn't even think of this, but praise God. Thank you, Father. Well, the Lord wants to minister to you, hon. This man is a true pastor. Amen. Thank you, Father. And it talks quite a bit in Jeremiah about... A shepherd watches over the sheep and feeds them with wisdom and with knowledge. And not, you know, how many of you were listening to Keith Moore the other night? I thought it was a powerful message. And he was talking about how, you know, there's a lot of ministers that they just want to fill their church. So they just want to say just the right thing. So they draw the right people in. But that's not what God's looking at. God's looking at faithfulness. And you've been faithful all these years. To shepherd the flock of God, and God wants to honor you this morning, in a mighty way. I don't know whatever the Lord puts on other people's hearts, but you've been faithful to serve the people. I've watched it. Just sometimes I sit there and think, oh my, I'm not a shepherd. I'm his helper. I'm the pastor's wife, and I stand in a different way of an anointing. It's different. The shepherd's anointing is so. So awesome. Matter of fact, he had a pastor friend come down. Pastor Cliff Reynolds came down. And he's a shepherd. That man's a true shepherd. When I see a true shepherd, I know it. They don't normally have airs about them, and they're not trying to prove something, but they're just usually very humble. And so it's awesome. I love to see the true shepherds. It's awesome. Now, there's, you know, different anointings. Your husband stands in teaching. But they all have their different awesomeness about them. You know what I mean? But, you know, it's the shepherd that has to stay with the sheep, and it has its tests and trials. But, you know, you have been so caring and so loving. I have to say that I'm just so blessed to, you know, have you in my life, but just to say in the congregation, because you're my pastor, I'm blessed to have you as a pastor. And, you know, I myself, you know, I'm just as human as anyone else, you know. Just through the years, you know, you go through things. And I knew if I got to church on Sunday, I knew if I got here, you would feed and just bring me the word I needed for to deliver me in what I was going through. I mean, I knew it, I could bank on it. I could bank on it when I would go through. I mean, I do that every week. I draw on the anointing. But, you know, there's those times, you know, it's you go through stuff. And I just knew, and he might be going through it too, but I knew he would stand in that office and I would receive and I would get the deliverance that I needed. And I just want to thank you from the depth of my heart for being a wonderful shepherd to the people, a father to the people, and a father to our children. And I'm blessed to have you. I'm so blessed to have you. I'm really blessed after what we had to stand through these past couple weeks. But, you know, God is faithful. Hallelujah. You're here. I'm going to just, we're just going to lay hands on him. If you all could extend your hand towards Pastor. Oh, thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Father, we're so thankful because you're the great shepherd. And Pastor Keith's the under-shepherd, Father. Oh, Jesus, you're so faithful. We thank you for him, Father. We thank you for him, Lord. We don't take him for granted. We're so thankful to have a loving, caring shepherd. Oh, God, I just thank you. Oh, thank you, Father. We ask that you bless him in so many different ways. Oh, strengthen him, Father, with might through your spirit and his inner man. Fill him up with your fullness, Father, this Father's Day. Fill him up, Father God. Strengthen him, spirit, soul, and body, mind, will, and emotions. In every part of his body, Father, from the top of his head to the soles of his feet, Father, we thank you for the quickening power of the Holy Spirit. We call his heart whole in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Ha ha. We call him whole in Jesus' name. We call him healthy in the name of Jesus. We call him strong in the Lord, that he'll be strong and serve you every day, Father. We praise you, Father God, for the anointing to only increase in Jesus' precious name. We thank you, Father God, for blessing him in Jesus' name. We add our faith, Father. Amen.
Oh, I've seen your heart, Pastor Keith. I've seen it. You are mine. You are mine. Oh, just wait. What I have for you for the forward. Going forward. What was meant for evil, what was meant to stop, what was meant to discourage. Oh, no more of that. We're going forward by my spirit, growth is coming. Growth is coming. Don't look at those things behind. Just keep looking at going forward and looking, and I will guide you. I will lead you. And I am leading you now. And my spirit within your people, within this church is growing, and they're supporting you, and they love you, and they'll be with you, and I will be with you. With a mighty strong force, in Jesus' name.